Turn to 1 Peter 5:14, if you would. Talk about a friendly church. Greet one another with the kiss of love. Peace to all of you who are in Christ. Now, when we think of greeting one another, we don't think of kissing people. We think of handshakes, maybe a hug. Now, my son and I were in Jordan one year, and we were sitting at a restaurant. We were eating, and we were watching people. And there's a table full of guys, and this other guy came up, and it was like he hadn't seen them for a while, and they started greeting one another with kisses, and they would kiss each on each cheek. And I mean, these guys didn't stop. I mean, they were just kept on going, and we'd go, wow, okay, they must really like each other, or they must have not seen each other for a real long time because they just really wanted to show each other their affection and friendship. They were greeting one another with a kiss. Now, what that tells us is that in Peter's day, that kind of greeting was somewhat intimate. It was between really close friends. And so when he says to us that we should greet one another with a kiss of love, he's talking about entering into a relationship. He's talking about being friendly. You know, and so when we start thinking about friendly, you know, we go, well, how do we become friendly? If we don't kiss one another, we just shake one another, what does it mean to be friendly? Well, fortunately for us, we have WikiHow. We can go online and find pictures that will tell us how to be friendly. And so look, I love this. You can smile more. Some of you need to practice that, you know. Smile a little more. Make eye contact. Now, Mark is an eye contact person. Maybe it's because he's an eye doctor. But when you talk to him, he lasers in on you with his eyes and he does not let go. That's very intimidating, you know. But it also means that you have his attention. And so we need to, you know, make more eye contact, compliment one another. I love the one on the second line, have open body language. Like, not sure what that means other than, you know, don't do this. It makes you look like you're bored, you know. So when I'm up here and I'm looking out at there, I'm looking at Greg Amstutz, and he's just going, I wish he would stop talking, you know. So, no, it's not what he's saying, you know. But, you know, that's a guarded thing. Being open is more like this. So, yeah, so we can learn to be friendly because, you know, sometimes we're very guarded people and we need to be more greeting one another in terms of being friendly. See, Nate Schofield, he has a son, and the son was probably about 7, 8 years old, and he wanted to be in soccer. So he signed him up for a soccer team, and they went out into the community soccer field and to meet the team. And so he got there, and his son was really excited about being there. And so they went up and tried to find the person who had the uniforms, the shirts, because all the other kids had already been on this team, and they had their shirts. They had the matching shirts. They had matching socks. They had matching shoes. They looked like a really good peewee soccer team. So the father goes up, and he's trying to find the coach who has the uniform, and everybody's friendly to him. They're kind of talking to him and stuff, but he always felt like he was on the outside because everybody had their own language and their own code and their own team. And so he reflected on it, and he said, you know, I thought these people were friendly. It wasn't as if they treated me badly, but I didn't feel like I was very welcomed there. I didn't feel like I was like, oh, yeah, now you're part of the team. Now, his son, on the other hand, was included by the rest of the team real quickly. But the father kind of felt like he was on the outside. And I think sometimes that's the way it is when people come to church. They come in and they might say, man, we are a really friendly church. But who are we friendly to? You know, as the video says, you know, we're really friendly to the people that we know. So here's kind of a definition, real large definition of what it means to be a friendly church. The friendly church introduces themselves at the front door and during a greeting time. We have these times in which we can turn to people. You know, a friendly church is genuine about its desire to be friendly to guests, but they are more comfortable in greeting and talking to people they know. As a result, the friendly person acknowledges He greets, and then he moves on. Because it's uncomfortable to talk sometimes to people that we don't know. So we might be real friendly, but that doesn't mean that we're real welcoming. So what does it mean then to be a welcoming church? Hebrews 13, 1 and 2 says this, let brotherly love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. So three things in this one, these two verses that talk about being welcoming. And I think the first one is we need to acknowledge this. He says, look, let brotherly love continue. Don't neglect our love for one another for the sake of sharing the gospel. In other words, we should share the gospel, but not to the exclusion of showing love to one another. There are churches, because there's a pendulum. There's the pendulum that goes, okay, we need to be cloistered and love one another all the time. And then there's the other side of the pendulum that says, no, we need to be outward and always reaching out. And it's not one or the other. It is centering into that center of tension in which we are still loving one another, but we are also opening our arms to people coming in. So don't neglect our love for one another. That's not what we're saying here at all, because we need to have that love for one. We need to have those friendships. But do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers. So you have the pendulum. Oh, well, we're going to be real loving to each other, but we don't reach out to the stranger. And he says, do that. So a welcoming church is intentional about showing true interest and care for guests. And I say true because I think sometimes we can show interest to people, but it's not real interest. How are you doing? But not really interested, really. We glaze over if they start talking to us because we want to move on maybe to somebody or to someplace else. We need to show true interest in people's lives. So when a guest comes, we need to sometimes break away from our friendships and connect with them and help them move through this place that we call church. The last thing is that he says, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. In other words, hospitality in terms of welcoming guests has eternal value. And God sometimes tests us on how welcoming we are. What's our hospitality like? Are we genuine about it, or are we just doing it, for show? And we don't want to do that. Now we're putting some things into place so that we can be welcoming, but our facility can facilitate welcomeness. But unless we are welcoming, it really doesn't make any difference what we do to our facility. So, a welcoming church sees Sunday morning through the eyes of their guest. So when you walk in on Sunday morning, you know where you're going. You know where the children's ministries are. You know where nursery is. You know where you're going to sit in your pew on Sunday morning. You know it. But what if you're a guest? If you ever go to some other church, how do you feel when you go in? You feel like the people in the video, not really knowing where you're going? A welcoming church helps guests navigate the details of Sunday morning. So we have a greeter ministry. And so those people are there specifically to greet people and help them to navigate what we call our church on Sunday morning. Now, this is the question. If I were a greeter and I'm greeting someone and they have a baby and so I need them to go to nursery and I don't know, I can't leave my post, right? And so I'm going to say, Anna here, she knows where the nursery is. Anna, come over here. Can you take these people over? See, I'm going to pull you aside and suck you in, all right? You don't have to be in the welcoming ministry in order for me to pull you in and help a guest, okay? So I've connected people, all right? So that's important for us to understand. We all need to be a part of it, even though we have very specific people doing it. A welcoming church introduces guests to other people. It's not about just introducing yourself. It's introducing yourself to them and to them to somebody else. And so we have a wide connection of welcoming. But the question is this. Is being friendly and welcoming enough? And I don't think it is. We can be friendly, we can be welcoming, but is it enough? You see, a welcoming church prepares for those who might come. And that's good, and we need to do that because we have people who walk through the doors and who are visiting and checking us out, and that's good. We need to be welcoming. But that is waiting. That is hoping. So we need to be something else. We need to be something more. We need to be an inviting church. Now, this passage in Matthew 22 says this: "Go therefore to the main roads and invite to the wedding feast as many as you can find." Now, the context of this is this wedding feast, and the person over this wedding feast has invited people to come. And the people that they've invited, those religious people, they don't show up. They don't show up. And so he says, okay, I've got all this prepared, and the people that I've invited, those religious people, don't show up. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to send my servants out, and they're going to go and bring in as many people off the streets as they can. People who will appreciate what's going on here. You know, and that's the way we need to be. You know, people come and people go in churches for a lot of different reasons. But if we concentrate on, oh, why did so-and-so or why did these people leave, we're concentrating on the wrong things. Jesus says, you can't do anything about that. Go out into the streets. Invite as many people as you can to come into the feast so they can be welcomed in to the family. We need to be inviting. You see, we have these examples. You know, Andrew invited James and John. You know, he met Jesus and said, hey, I'm going to go invite some people to come and see who the Messiah is. Philip invited Nathanael. The woman at the well, after she found out about Jesus, she went and invited the whole town to come. And, of course, Zacchaeus invited his friends to come and hear about this person, Jesus. You see, an inviting church doesn't wait for people to show up. They bring people with them. They introduce them to others. They show them the important places to go and help them find a place in worship. You see, that's what an inviting church does. We can be friendly and we can be welcoming, but we need to be inviting. You see, SJM, the church on Road 4, is to be a friendly, welcoming, inviting place, but it starts with each of us. It starts with each of us inviting somebody so that we can show people a clear pathway to relationships, a well-defined discipleship process, and beginning now. And I want to just touch on these. It starts with each of us stepping out of our comfort zone and not fearing embarrassment. You know how it is when you invite someone, you've got a relationship with them for over a long period of time, and you go, man, you know, what if they say to me, what took you so long? Why didn't you invite me before? So it's a little embarrassing, and so you got to get past that. You got to get past that fear. We want to show people around. We want to get excited about what God is doing here. And I know that some people might be sitting there going, I don't see anything happening. I don't know what God's doing. Let me tell you, He is doing something here. And we see it in different ministries, and you may not know it because maybe you're not involved. Maybe you are not involved in the ministries where God is moving in people's hearts. And so part of that is just getting involved. It starts with each of us. Now, there's a clear pathway to relationships. And notice I didn't say a clear pathway to discipleship. This is different. How do you develop relationships? Because people come to churches wanting to develop relationships, relationship with Christ and with one another. So you need to know your ministries. If I would have talked to somebody who's been coming here for a while and said, okay, what are ABFs? And you'd have no clue because maybe you're not in one. You need to know what our ministries are. Where are children's ministries? Where are our nurseries? Ask if you don't know. Invite people to lunch with you. Hey, you want to go to church with me? We can go to lunch afterwards. Get involved in ministries yourself. There's a pathway to relationships. And it begins now. It doesn't begin yesterday. It won't begin tomorrow. It begins now. And you know something? We're going to fail at it. We're not going to do it right. We're going to mess up. We're going to try something and it won't work. But guess what? That's okay. Failure is not trying something and it doesn't work. Failure is not trying anything at all. Failure is not inviting someone at all. So that's failure. If we know somebody who needs to know Christ, we need to invite them to stuff. And then there needs to be a well-defined process towards discipleship. And the question is discipleship a process? Is it a certain set of precepts? Is it relational? Is it serving? Is it evangelism? What is it? How can you find a pathway to it if we don't know what it is? Well, the answer is it's all of these things. And so we are working, we're constantly working and refining and thinking through what it means to be disciples so that when we invite somebody, they will be able to go through that process. Well, this is what I define it as. Discipleship is the process by which we grow in our knowledge of Jesus, becoming more like him and making him known. So how do we do it? Well, first of all, we have a Christ-centered, God-honoring worship service. When we come here on Sunday morning, we preach the word and we testify to it through our singing. It is Christ-centered, God-honoring. Now, some people would say, well, you can't invite people to church because they won't understand it. Sure you can. What better place for them to come and see people worship? If you invite someone to worship, to the worship service and they come, they're expecting something about God. Now, they may not come because they don't want to go to church. But it's not. Don't be afraid to invite them to church. But church isn't the only thing that we do. We do have Sunday morning Bible instruction. Now, if you notice, I picked words that people will understand. If I had put up there ABF, some people would go, well, what's an ABF? Some people who are in them would go, what's an ABF? Because we're sometimes not very clear about that. But really what it is Sunday morning Bible instruction around relationships. Okay, we have relationships in our Sunday morning instructional time. But it's about Bible instruction. 6-week small groups. Now this is relationships around the Word of God. It's the other way around. So you might invite someone to a 6-week small group. They'd go someplace maybe for 6 weeks with you before they'd step into church. But invite them. And then, of course, journey groups, which a lot of you don't know about because this is something that we've just started, and we're going slow with it. So we're not inviting everybody. We're inviting certain people, not because they're better than you, because we only invite those who need it the most. And we're starting small on it, and we want it to grow big because it's high commitment to it. But these right now are our systems of discipling people. Is it perfect? No. And we're continually working on it. But invite people to these things. So it starts this way. How do I start to invite people? How do I become an inviting church? I become an inviting church first by praying evangelistically. When you are in your ABF or in your small group, this is what typically happens at prayer time. Do we have any prayer requests? Cricket, 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 cricket. And we wait long enough, someone will finally give one. Yeah, my mother's sister's brother-in-law, 12 times removed, needs a corn removed. And we give those kinds of requests. But what if we turned our prayer time for a season at least to pray evangelistically? That we stop thinking inwardly and we start going, I know someone who needs Jesus. And we pray for those people in our ABFs, in our small groups. How do you do this? Well, you've seen this, Oikos. And there's a couple of groups who still do this, but most of us have reverted back to the way we've always done it. Make a list. Pray specifically for people. And if you don't want to give someone's real name, give them a code name. I don't care. But pray evangelistically for certain people in your life, in your area of influence, that you can share the gospel with, that you can invite to something. You know who they are. But if we pray in our groups evangelistically, then our hearts will change in terms of inviting. Because inviting is the next step. Oh, look at a card. You know, I believe in tools. I think they help us go someplace. Because inviting is one of the hardest things we do. But what if we had something that we could use that would be very helpful inviting people. So I have this card up here, and on the front it says front of card. Okay. It's really small, and when I made this, I didn't realize how small it was going to be. But that's okay because you're going to know what's on it. This is what it says. Everyone is welcome at SJM Church, and we would love to meet you. If you want to check us out first, we understand our website is this. And then it gives a lot of information and some time and stuff. So what I would do, now on the back of it is a website that they could go to, and it has lots of different videos on a lot of different types of things about Christianity. You know, so what do Christians think about archaeology or abortion or the Bible or depression or evil? And so a person could go to this website and check out a lot about Christianity. So this is how it would work. Hey, Mark, how you doing?
Great.
Man, I'm doing really well. I appreciate all the stuff that you do for my eyes, you know, and I appreciate that. I don't know if you go to church anywhere, but I'd like to invite you to my church. And here's some things, you know, this is the information about it. Now, I know you're a busy guy, and sometimes it's hard to get to church. If you can't make it to church, I'd love for you to come. But if you can't make it, there's a website on the back that might answer some of the questions that you have about Christianity. And if you have some time, I'd love to talk to you about it.
Thanks.
Hey, no problem. You see, that's all there is to it. Now, I'm not asking them to give me a commitment at this point. I'm just saying, I'd love to invite you. I want you. You're special. And I want you. But it doesn't stop there, because on the other side is some place they can go to investigate. See, typically what we do is we give a tour and say, I want you to come to this. And the person goes, well, I don't really want to go to that, but I'm kind of interested. And we leave them hanging. What this tool does is it allows us to move a little bit further in the process, so that a person can take the card, and if they don't come, they can at least go to the website. And you can follow up with them. You can follow up and, hey, I gave you this card the other day. I was wondering, did you happen to check out that website? Maybe this specific one would be good for you. You can invite people. You see, this is just a tool. Some of you are good at it. Hey, why don't you come with me to this? Some of us are a little bit more timid. This is a great tool to do it. So, what can you invite them to? Well, in August, these are the five topics that I'm going to talk about. Love one another. Why does it matter? Husbands, love your wives. Why does it matter? Wives, submit respect to your husbands. Why does it matter? Children, obey your parents. Why does it matter? This is my life interview. Why does it matter? You see, now you know what the topics are for the next 5 weeks. These would be interesting for some people. And they're going to go, hey, you know, what does it mean for Christians to love one another? You can invite people to church. To church. Will it be always this specific to people? No. But it still will be relevant as we worship the Lord. Now, I have this tool. You're going, man, where are those cards? I want some of those. We have them in bundles of five. I have 1,000 cards here I need to get handed out. All right? Who wants to hand them out with me? Raise your hand. Who wants to hand out cards with me? Come on, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Okay, I got one back here. One, okay, over here. I got two people. Throw over here three. All right. We got some people. Now, with these cards, because the rest of you are just chicken, all right? I know. It's the pastor's being really encouraging today. You know, we don't like raising our hands in the service. What we've got is we're going to have these out. The ushers are going to have these out in the back as you walk out. And if you want one, just take a stack of five, all right? And if they don't all go out, I hope some people will come back. Hey, guys, come back here and get this for me. Come on. Up here. My ushers will do it. It's a tool, and I'm going to ask next week, who handed them out? You know, who handed out a couple? You know, and we're just going to kind of ask that generally over the next few weeks, because I think sometimes we need to be held accountable to it as well. We need to be an inviting church. I need to be an inviting person. I had cards this week, and I was going to invite someone, and it was terrible because I was never in a place where there was somebody I could invite. And it was like, I started thinking about it going, I need to be in a place where I can invite people. So we just need to be in that kind of a place. I want to pray for us as we talk about, is that benevolence? All right, benevolent offering. I always forget. So they're back there waving their hands. Benevolent offering. We're a giving church. Let's be an inviting church. Stand with me as we pray. Father, you invited us, Father, and that is an exciting thing. Somebody invited us to come to know you. And if it wasn't for that one person inviting us, then we wouldn't be here. We wouldn't have experienced your grace and your love. So I pray that we will be that person towards others. And I know there are people here who invite all the time. But this is a great tool, Father, and I just pray that we will use it for your honor and for your glory. That we might be an inviting church so that we will have people that we can show hospitality to and be welcoming and friendly. Not so that we would grow numerically, Father, that's not the issue, but that people would come to know Christ, your Son, as their Savior. That's our desire. That's our goal. Father, we just thank you for what you will do. In Jesus' name, amen.